tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Whoa, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show! Welcome to AfterBuzz TV Walking Dead Show! There's the theme song!
My Daryl, how you've changed in the last week.
I went on a sabbatical, guys. I came back. I changed my hair a little bit. I don't know if you can see it. This is Walking Dead. This is crazy exciting for me. I love this show. This is like one of my all-time favorite shows.
Oh,
so
yeah. More exciting.
Yeah.
This season.
It just keeps getting better and better. More graphic, more dying.
Way more dying.
This episode was so intense. I loved it.
Oh, my goodness.
I was feeling a little squeamish and nauseous, to be honest with you. A lot of that happened, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm not used to this.
Next time, I should have brought some KFC for all of us. None of you guys were here for that. Daryl was here for that. I brought KFC for a viewing once.
I would have eaten fried chicken while I watched Enid eat a turtle. I would have done that.
Oh, that was so gross. Yeah. I don't know. Build a fire, honey. I know you don't have much time, but just try. Cook it first.
Really. So, guys, you may notice that I'm not Daryl. Daryl was here last week, and I am new to this panel, and I'm super excited to be on this panel. My name is Ben Bateman. This is the AfterBuzz TV recap/ after show of The Walking Dead. This is season 6, episode 1, JSS, and I am joined by three lovely...
Episode 2.
Oh, did I say season 3?
No, episode 2.
It's episode 2, but I have three hosts. So this is over here. We have Kristen Carroll.
Hey, guys. Good to be back. I took a season off, so I'm back for the season.
Yay. Yeah. We have Joy Sajuri.
Hey, I'm glad we're hosting together on the show. You guys can find me on Twitter at Jay Ajuri.
And we have Mr. John Carl.
Hey, guys. Good to see you. I'm kind of the intermittent whenever... Somebody can't be here. I'm just going to fill in half the season, probably.
It's okay.
Yeah. We've logged more episodes than I have. So sure. You're winning. This is the second episode, and it wasn't quite as experimental, we'll say, as the first episode was. You know, the first episode was definitely like dealing with time displacement and the different filters and all that stuff, which is like kind of a new thing for them. But I still thought it was pretty darn exciting. What did you guys think?
Oh, yeah. I love that they answered a lot of the questions that we had last week in today's episode. So, you know, it brought a lot of clarity while watching this, and it made it more exciting.
Yeah.
I like that we were wrong about our prediction last week, because at the end of last week's episode, we gave our prediction, and we, you know, we're all assuming that it was a trap set by the wolves, that the wolves were trying to attract the zombie horde back to the town. Mm-hmm. And while, yes, it was caused by the wolves, it wasn't a trap that was intended to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the wolves probably were unaware of everything else that was going on at that point.
Like, it didn't come from inside Alexandria.
Exactly.
Like, from somebody there.
And I also thought maybe that they were hinting at last week that maybe Ron, in all of his angst that his dad died, and we saw in the previews that Carl's stealing his woman, that he was going to be like, all right, well, screw you guys. I'm just going to, like...
Kill everyone.
I'm going to go insane. You know?
That's what teenagers do.
Teenagers being teenagers.
He doesn't have very good... Half of his genes aren't very good.
Right.
True.
I've done crazier things than I've been angsty, so. Anyway.
Well, you guys want to switch seats?
Yeah. Let me just, sharpen my phone and kill you with one item or something. Before we get into the episode, I want to kind of, touch on all the subjects, but I do want to remind everybody to go check us out on iTunes. If you give us a high rating, a good rating review, it helps us continue to provide free content, which is awesome because we love to do the show. And that would help a lot. So
make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, too.
Yes, exactly. Comment, interact, all that. We all will interact any AfterBuzz show I've ever done. I'm super into interacting. I know you guys, I'm assuming you are also, because it's the most fun thing to hear what you guys think. So get in on the conversation with us. And if you want to tweet at us while we're talking here, you can use the hashtag, what is it? Hashtag ABTV Walking Dead.
I think so.
Or
is it
TWD?
Maybe. Yeah. It's probably hashtag
ABTV. I forgot. I'm sorry.
But it doesn't say. It just says The Walking Dead on the AfterBuzz post. So You can tweet at us.
It's hashtag ABTVTWD is what our
let's start from now.
Thank you, Zach. You rock. Thank you, buddy.
So yeah, let's get into the episode. So we open up and we have Enid's eating a turtle and losing her parents. We have the backstory on the quiet.
Opposite like time frame though.
Yeah.
Starts out by losing the parents, then she eats the turtle.
Right.
That would have been really messed up if it happened the other direction.
Apparently I'm like really attached to this turtle imagery. I've like mentioned it three times. It's like really relevant or something.
Well, I think because we just like it was kind of unexpected for her character. I mean, obviously she's always kind of been a mystery to a lot of us. She's always running off to the woods. You know, she's a love interest to a lot of the young men, and probably because she's the only young woman in that town. But we don't know a whole lot about her or her personality. So this is the first episode that we open on learning more about her. And the fact that kind of immediately, well, we don't know how long she had been on the road, but it seems like to us, because it happened so quickly, her parents died. She has this JSS obsession that we don't know about. And then, yeah, all of a sudden she's eating a turtle.
Yeah.
That came really quickly that she decided she needed to do that. But maybe she's hungry.
I was under the impression that she wasn't on the road for very long. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I was totally shocked that she's like, all right, now I got to survive. Like, it didn't seem like she took a long time to dwell and to be afraid.
She also strikes me as her character. I mean, granted, some of that comes from the journey she went through. But her character seems pretty like, I don't know, cold survivorish sort of. So like her eating a turtle didn't strike me as she wasn't like the, you know, made up blonde who is like, I can't imagine getting my hands dirty.
Yeah.
She kind of struck me as.
But I would still expect like, you know, a kid to try to set a fire or do something like that. She's like, no, I'm just going to rip into it right now.
Yeah.
When she even took the jacket from one of the walkers as well. Mm-hmm. So she just seemed like maybe she knew a little bit more what was going on. Again, we don't know how long this time frame was.
And also the whole JSS thing. I mean, we know that she was with her parents in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've been on the road for a while and they taught her these things and they taught her to just survive somehow. And that was just her way of, you know, putting it in action. It's like, this is what my parents taught me. This is what we did when we were out. She's like, why not continue?
I like when they take sort of like, not stigmas, but they take character development that they usually have to spell out for you. So the scene where she sees the walkers coming around the corner and then it just cuts to her being sad and her parents are gone, as opposed to like early on in Walking Dead, if you saw a scene like this, you would see the zombies attack the parents. The parents would have to fight. She'd scream and go hide, and then she'd come back and she'd watch one of her parents turn. And, you know what I mean? You'd watch the whole thing. Whereas now, we just don't need to see that anymore. It's like, it's almost more effective to just see the attack and then see her hiding. She's hiding in a car.
We also got to see a lot of killing in this episode. Yeah, so this was one of the times we're like, you know what? We're going to spare you guys this because we're going to hit you really, really hard later on.
True. Yeah. We could do without that first kill.
Do you guys for think, a half a
without
second.
Without seeing it, yeah.
Do you guys think that, so we're six seasons or into the sixth season now, right? Like, when you get introduced to a character like hers, I think we met her last season, right?
Yep.
It's mid-season.
Yeah.
And she had a few scenes last season. I wouldn't call her very prominent. You know, she had a few of those romantic scenes. But do you feel like when you give me a little backstory like this as a character, like, are we just waiting for her to disappear, to die? Is she going to serve a real purpose? Or is it just trying to make us care about her a little bit more so that when she does die, it's more effective?
I think it was to explain her leaving as well. You know, the fact that she didn't feel a connection with that town that other people. I mean, we heard Rosita at the end said when she was talking to Spencer and he goes, how can you survive in this world? And she goes, because you have to have something worth fighting for. And she hadn't found that connection yet. And we even see that with her parents to an extent.
Totally. I mean,
it doesn't even seem like there was any sort of fight for that or surprise for her. So she probably always felt really alone and no connection to anything.
And we also saw that she, when she first arrived at Alexandria, that it looked like she wasn't exactly going to go in at first. Like, she turned around for a second and she started scratching JSS on her hands, which is probably what reminded her to, like, think, okay, this is where I could survive somehow.
Right.
But yeah, I agree with you. I don't think she, like, realizes or she doesn't have anything worth dying for at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think with her, though, it's not that she was coming into the city and planning to stay a long time. I think that's why she carved it on her hand is just survive somehow means living in the moment, how I'm getting from moment to moment.
Like,
this isn't the long-term plan, but this is my somehow until something goes wrong, and then I'm getting out.
And that's why she left.
So the question that I have, because I want to get on to when, obviously, everything goes haywire, but before we talk about that, do we think that her leaving and leaving Little Sign, she inevitably will come back? I mean, it seems hard to believe that they would give us the backstory and she would just be gone.
No, I think she'll come back.
Yeah, right?
I think she'll be back, but she'll be back in a way where we wouldn't expect. Like, I had this crazy idea that all the JSSs that she was leaving around unintentionally unintentionally brought the wolves to Alexandria.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she's going to come back like with them or with another group or, you know, in a totally different way, but
I have a feeling it'll involve Ron. He just disappeared and then she's gone, and I just have a feeling somehow that's going to be a problem and it'll be relevant. But let's talk about Caro being like, you're smoking, it's killing you, and now you're getting killed with a machete.
I love just say, Caro
somebody
today.
Somebody on the chat, give me shelter, I'm going to give you a shout out. They put, or he or she, I can't tell. Caro for president 2006.
Hell yeah.
She's such a badass.
2016.
Hell yeah.
Goodness. It's late for me, you guys. Way past my bedtime. It's all good. Yeah. Or not.
So yeah, she's like, there's the moment where she's complaining, oh, I don't have a pasta maker. And Carol's
like, this is
like,
Niedermeyer.
Yeah, and she's doing her thing. Well, I could teach you how to make pasta with your bare hands if you don't smoke in the house. I'm just a wonderful neighbor. And then she's just sitting there watching and just like, machete. And then you're like, well, I guess the horn was coming, so we knew something was going to go wrong. We were just kind of waiting for it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was your guys' first thought when you saw the machete? Did you know immediately that it was the wolves or the people with
I thought it was somebody within the town had snapped. Okay. That was my first instinct.
He looked pretty dirty, right?
Yeah. But it's like, when it happened all so fast, it was like, wait, what? And then as you saw there were more, then it was, okay, this is an attack. But at first, I wasn't 100% signed off on that.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it was them just because of it didn't look like somebody who had been in the town and or somebody that we knew. So I think if it would have been a character in there, like you said, they would have been cleaner. Mm. I saw that. I would have expected the horn to be first, kind of the introduction of them. So that really did catch me off guard. And I think Carol would have run out to save this person had it not been
so sudden, too quick,
I don't even think Carol could have saved that person then and there.
Yeah. I was genuinely scared.
Absolutely.
Like, that was a jump scare for sure.
One thing I disliked about this sequence, this whole massacre before Morgan and Carol started to take over, just the sort of generic montage of death. Mm-hmm. I don't like in shows like this when you kill a bunch of generic characters that we don't actually know who they are. We just see like the back of their head and the side of them as they're getting stabbed and murdered. Like, it's effective in the sense that we're losing some numbers, but it's not effective in the sense that we have any idea how many less people there actually are now. Like, we don't know what number of people are actually in the town.
That's true. Yeah, we didn't know what we started with or how many were killed in it. Yeah. That was like, you know, the governor's town when all of a sudden a bunch of people started getting it there. We still never knew what the number of people were versus, you know, Rick's group. You always know exactly how many people are in his group.
100%.
So it means way, way more when one of the few die versus one of the whatever ambiguous number is best for storytelling.
I think just the problem gets to be is then you have a problem like in season 3 when we had oh my God, I can't think of his character name. He was played by Vincent Ward, one of the inmates that everybody started to really love, and they killed him off when they were in the town, like running out and all that kind of stuff. And he even said like nobody really. It took a minute, like people had to go and rewind and go, wait a minute, did he die? And I think if you had a big character die in this kind of a scene when there's so much going on, you're not giving enough. I think Scott Gimple realizes this, the audience would be really PO'd that you're not giving them their time.
Right. Well, it's very interesting, like, this is my first time on this panel, so obviously as a comic book reader, I don't want to, like, get too much into it, but there is one sequence in the comics where they're escaping from the prison quite a while ago, and a lot of people all go out at the same time.
Yeah, they all bite it.
There's, like, 6 or 7 pretty significant characters that all die in the same scene. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading that and sort of having a similar feeling what I'm talking about, where you're losing generic characters, but almost like information overload. Like, whoa, they're all gone now? Like, that whole entire group?
It's the Red Wedding Syndrome.
Yeah, right.
Where all of a sudden massacre of everything you care about is happening.
Yeah. But that was the focus, though, was on those characters, which was easier. And the same even when Laurie died and when T-Dog died, is that they all got their five minutes to talk about it and kind of show it. And I feel like in this kind of a scene, you're not going to be able to do that. I mean, we saw Carol kill that one woman on the steps, and I think that was the most that they could do without taking away the pacing. It was
her and Mrs. Niedermeyer. Those were the two, because those were the ones that were in the room when they were talking about, you know, how to make whatever. And like, you had to give a face to it or they would have meant absolutely nothing. But you couldn't spend so much time because, you know, like what you're talking about with that comic book, it was just everything's getting hit at once right there.
It almost makes you wonder, like, as an actor, you're auditioning for the role and it's like guest star or co-star, you're like, so how many lines am I going to get before I get eaten by a zombie? You're like, am I going to get to introduce myself, have a flashback? Am I going to get to just, like, complain about pasta makers before I get my face eaten?
Well, the fun thing is they don't tell them. Like, yeah, the actors, right. Carol was supposed to die in season one, and then she was supposed to die when they let her drive away the other season. Yeah. And Melissa McBride just is amazing. Mm-hmm. And she's also probably, you know, a master at persuasion in real life because she, like...
Maybe.
Well, I think she comes up with some of these ideas and passes them off and keeps her living. And
I can only imagine like the showrunners being like, okay, so you're going to ignorantly oppose Rick and then you're going to argue with him in public and then he's going to stab you. And that's your care. You'll get to say a few things about your family or your house not being big enough, but that's pretty much the gist.
If you get to be on there and Rick kills you, I think you've done pretty well.
I would kill for it. I mean, it's amazing.
Yet again, did one of you want to switch seats with me? but no, we actually talked about that with Michael last week, and he was like, yeah, there are the people that know, and then there's like, you know, you're going day to day, and if they have you booked for 3 episodes, that doesn't even mean you're going to survive 3 episodes. Yeah. That's just probably what you're going to get paid for, kind
right.
of thing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
He was like, all we have to do is sit and wait for that one phone call that tells you, like, not to come in anymore, or that you're not going to come to this table read. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty much.
It's funny, like, I was doing research a couple years ago for Boardwalk Empire for, like, a whole Emmys project I was doing, and I remember, like, finding out that the showrunner felt so bad about killing off characters, he would, like, personally call any actor that was going to die in the show and explain to him, hey, this is what's going on, and I'm really sorry, but, I, you know, we loved you on the show, but it's for the purpose of writing. And, like,
that's nice.
Break the news to each person, which I thought was kind of interesting.
That's nice Hollywood.
Everybody must just freak out. They just look at their caller ID, and they're just like, no.
Oh, it's a showrunner.
Not answering. I'm
it's
just going to show up to work. I don't want to pick it up.
It's like, yeah, it's like seeing George R. R. Martin's number on your caller ID if you're on Game of Thrones.
You're like, oh, shit.
You can't get served your papers, right? So Morgan and Carol basically take over. We have a bunch of randos dying. We have Carol kind of noticing what's up. We have Ron's mom, whose name is escaping me for a moment.
I couldn't remember her name this entire episode.
Jesse.
Okay.
We have Jesse, and she runs up and she puts... So Ron is the older son. The younger son's name is...
I also don't remember
his
name.
I was trying to remember his family. Name.
It's because in the comics, the younger son is Ron. So So my apologies to anybody who's listening or watching.
That you
I
haven't done the spoiler from it, so it's
we're
okay.
We're hoping to get someone to say his name
I know,
in the live
I'm
chat.
I'm watching on the chat. If you guys
anybody
remember
knows,
his name,
please put it in the live chat.
So, pissy, angsty son, and then younger, crying son.
Yeah, okay. So Jessie's like hiding up in the closet with the gun, and now she's like sort of stated, I'm going to protect myself. She said it last episode to Rick, right? Mm-hmm. So, I guess, what did you guys think? Because I just have this feeling, like, one of those sons and or her aren't going to make it halfway through the season. Like, it just seems way too easy, right? There's
there needs to be the conflict first. There needs to be the full on, like, you know, he has the drag out brawl with Carl
Sam.
Or Sam. Yes.
Sam. Nice.
Sam the little one.
Thank you. Yeah. George Jimenez?
Jimenez?
George Jimenez. Jorge Jimenez.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And Libra Dalton also wrote
nice. But there definitely needs to be the all out, your dad killed my dad fist fight. That is going to happen.
Yeah. For sure? You think so?
110%.
Yeah, it's boiling right now. I think the whole Enid thing, like the love triangle that's probably going to happen, is going to be like the secondary issue. Mm-hmm. But definitely between the two of them, it's going to be about Rick and Pete and how, you know, the whole dad thing.
And also, Ron is going to blame Carl for her leaving because it was the last person that he saw Enid with. And he's going to just add that on to everything else he's angry about.
The one thing that is annoying about that, though, is that angsty, ignorant-seeming characters like Ron, where you're like, you're totally just pissing the audience off, but the writers know that. You're like a love-to-hate-you character. Like...
I mean, we hated Carl at one point.
Totally.
And still do, kind of.
He doesn't stay in the damn house.
But I mean, they're written that way for a reason, and I would almost find it annoying if we got just the really predictable all-out like fist fight between the two of them, just because I'm just like, I kind of don't feel like we need to see that. Like, I don't... But then again, I mean, a major problem I had with this episode, and we can jump into Morgan and Carol, because this is another... And I mentioned this while we were watching it. What do we think? It's been over a year, right? A year and a half since it all started?
Easily.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of time on the road. So even the people who are living inside Alexandria who haven't had to deal with any of this stuff, you got to figure if you've been out there on the road or enough time has passed and you've seen these dead things that are just going to kill you and eat you. Anybody that dies is reborn. I don't understand this notion that, like, the old rules apply and we can just argue over you killing my dad, or, like, my dad didn't just slit this person's throat, or, like, didn't just beat my younger brother, or, like, I can just fight off these crazies with a stick and tie them up and nothing bad's gonna happen. I don't buy into any of that. I think, like, a few people, one or two, maybe would be really soft, and they'd all be dead by now.
Yeah.
But someone like Morgan, he's not going to survive this long by hitting people with a stick. I just it's not true. It would never happen.
It also depends how many people, and a lot of this goes to what happened off-panel for him, where originally it was just him dealing with the walkers that were coming at where him and his son were staying.
Right.
And then there was the one incident with the walls, and then he's with Rick and Michonne and everybody else now. It is possible if by himself he didn't encounter other people aside from that one incident with the wolves.
Yeah.
And that was where he still has, he's not jaded yet. He still has the ability to show mercy towards other living things, because at this point, his whole attitude of all life is precious means even more because there's so much fewer living people mm-hmm. to protect.
But my counter to that would be that it doesn't feel like Rick and his group, as we've watched them go through their life, I don't feel like they're usually looking for conflict. I feel like what that usually ends up happening is that they come across something that has some value, someone tries to take it from them or attack them, and they end up having to survive. And it's hard for me to believe that in the same time frame, with Morgan being out on the road, that he wouldn't have had to deal with it that way.
Single person versus a group. I mean, from a strategic standpoint,
yeah.
If he saw four people coming down the road that he didn't know if he could trust them, it's easier for him to go off and hide and wait for it to pass than if you have a group of, you know, the 10 to 12 to 15 that Rick's group has had. You can have a fight there, whereas, you know, Morgan's just like, it's better for me and I'm less likely to be killed right. by just avoiding this altogether and walk 4 miles out of the way to not encounter these people.
I mean, I get that. Yeah, go ahead.
He even said to the last guy that he encountered in the episode, you know, if you're going to keep living this way, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not only a moral thing for him, but also, like, his idea of surviving is just you don't want to be, you know, the asshole, like, just starting conflict and killing people because mm-hmm. that's how you're going to die.
Yep.
So
you don't. Okay, I'm sorry.
I know what you're. No, I know what you're saying, because you're right. Like, after everything that he's seen and been through, like, you got to maybe throw your moral compass out the door at some point.
But you're standing around with the staff watching crazies with machetes hack people's heads off. Like, not just, like, not, like, take their stuff, not, like, try to, like, sexually violate women, but actually just chopping people's heads and beating them with, like, machetes. Like, mm-hmm. that's what they're going to do to you if they get a chance. So why are you hitting them with a stick and tying them up? This makes no sense to me.
I think it was just because of also, he has seen so much, and the fact that I'm assuming between when we first see Morgan and then when we see him the second time where he's by himself in that mm-hmm. house and he's got all those booby traps all over the place, that he probably did what Rick and his group did in terms of, like, when you fight back, you are going to kill people. Or maybe take that even more extreme. Maybe he did what the wolves did during that time. And that's the fact, that's why he got crazy at that particular episode. And then between that time we see him and when we see him reemerge, he probably had some sort of, you know, revelation for him personally that said, okay, I went that far. We don't know what he did in between season one and I think it was season three. I tend to think it was pretty dark.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. He was pretty crazy when we caught up with him. So we do, in the end, obviously see him deal with the one crazy who he had dealt with before. But
do we? We don't actually really see it, though.
He just says, I'm sorry, and hits him with the stick.
Yeah, which, again,
it's ambiguous, yeah.
Is it an actual, you know, I don't know.
Well, let's jump over. So he shows back up, and we'll quickly touch on it because we should get to Carol because she's, like, the real meat and potatoes of the badassery of the episode. But we do get to see Spencer with a rifle, and he's kind of a sissy with it. He can't really hit a target. And I actually had almost forgotten who Spencer was, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I barely recognized him because, as I said, I've been reading the comics, and in the comics he looks obviously a little different. There's no surprise there. Still handsome in both, but but then
he only had, like, a short kind of a little storyline at the beginning, not trusting Rick's group, and then he just kind of faded, and now he's back because a lot of people died. So
right.
Leaves
so
room.
So he's trapped outside.
New cannon fodder.
Yeah.
After the truck shows up, and he's with Regina. Regina, right? Regina?
No. Deanna?
Deanna.
His mom.
Is her name Regina in the comics? I hope it's Regina in the
comics. I don't
know. I was making a mistake. Deanna. Anyway, so he saves his mom, and she's like, I can't go inside. I'll just be another distraction. Sits down in the truck. They're kind of outside. Morgan shows up. Remind me, last episode, wasn't Morgan out with Rick and all those guys?
So we were actually talking about that. When stuff started going down, and there were the walkers that were splitting off of the larger pack, and Ethan Embry's character from last week, the one who the architect guy.
Oh, the guy whose face gets eaten?
Yes, the one whose face gets eaten.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his name either. The what guy, is going on?
I mean, to be fair, he was only in one episode. So.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who's actually just Nicholas in the comics, Grant? No. Anyway, we all know who we're talking about. He's the guy that wanted to build walls but gets his face eaten.
Yeah. But when all that went down and Rick saw, or Morgan saw Rick kill him and stuff like that, at that point, he sent Morgan back earlier than the rest of the group, and they were going to continue to make sure that they got to the green point, I think was the drop-off point to get everything out. So Morgan had a head start of getting back.
And that's when they heard the horn blow, and then he just happened, he just got there.
Yeah, I mean,
in perfect timing.
Yeah, and I mean, this episode was great for...
Tyson Davis said his name is Carter.
Carter.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Which is funny, I don't know, really quick side note, Andrew Lincoln said... That's the only person that he begged Scott Gimple not to kill off because he thought he was such a great actor. Because he's in a lot of other movies and television shows.
I mean, he was in Can't Hardly Wait. I mean, come on.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Teen Heartthrob. I thought he was great, yeah.
Yeah.
Then he liked the fact, too, that he was the only person kind of questioning Rick out of everybody in Alexandria at that point. And then they killed him off anyways. Fun fact.
But yeah, that's why Morgan was back before the rest of the group was able to get back.
So he's back helping, and so we're just assuming at this point, Rick and everybody, they're trying to find their way back and also finish the plan dealing with the herd of zombies and not luring them all back to the town.
And freaking out about what's going on back home.
Because the one thing that we got in this episode was a context of time, because, you know, Carol setting dinner and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We actually saw how long everything was happening from start to finish.
What was the time she put on the timer?
It was
1 hour.
Hour,
I think, right?
1 hour.
Was it? Oh, yeah.
That was an interesting storytelling.
I missed that.
Which is cool, because it's the length of the television show as
well. But what you don't see is with Rick and all the stuff that him and his party's going through, exactly how long before they start hearing the horn happens. Mm-hmm. So you lose a little bit of that time context, and that's where we're able to fit everything in. And you know, they're probably almost back at this point, but, you know, they're also fighting through a horde at this point, too.
Yeah.
Well, they also left before she set the timer, so some of their journey is happening before that hour takes place.
Right.
All right, so he gets back, and he's helping deal with the shenanigans, and Carol decides to just go buck wild. And she's like, I'm just going to reveal myself and just go nuts and kill everyone. And
I love that she did that.
Well, she's just, like, such a badass. Could you guys... I mean, even back in, like, season 3, was it, probably, when she killed the two people at the prison who were sick? Mm-hmm. And that was that was her first transition of, like, Carol's a little bit evil, and, like, Rick banished her.
Yeah.
It's just, like, such a far cry from that now.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's the Wild West. Like, well, Rick has no control over Carol.
Somebody put on here, and I can't find it now, because there's a lot of chat, which is awesome.
Yeah, keep doing that.
Somebody put, Carol literally is a sheep in wolves' clothing in this episode.
Yeah, that's so true. I love that. But I also love that she basically revealed herself as not the housewife that she's been pretending to be, mm-hmm. like grabbing all the weapons and stuff.
Right.
She was seen by somebody.
One of the women. The girl who did the inventory.
Okay, the girl, so now the girl who did the inventory knows who Carol actually is and how she operates and what she does. So she's out of her housewife
disguise. But not totally, because it's only for a brief second. Like, she doesn't actually see Carol kill those two people. She opens the door.
That's true.
She's in there. She goes, literally, you stand here, you point, and if something moves, you keep shooting.
Yeah.
That isn't true Carol badassery. Like,
but I think at this point, like, this is the first step to her coming out.
To eventually reveal.
Yeah, so it's going to have to be talked about or, you know, seen again somehow by the inventory lady.
Almost every person that knew Carol was cool is actually just dead now. So there's person maybe that... And at that point, like, that's the whole thing, is that the transition was beginning to happen where the town was realizing, like, we're in the real world and this group is the real world. And, like, this whole, like, pasta maker thing wasn't going to last.
Yeah.
And I think they all knew that. It was just waiting for the time to transition into it. And this is clearly that moment. So the question is, so Carol goes out, she takes out... I mean, I feel like Carol took out like 14 people or something
like that. So many people. I wanted to count. I was I should have counted.
When she gets spotted by those people and they're like, oh, where'd you get the gun? And she just caps them right there.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was very reminiscent of, the whole idea of like disguising yourself from the zombies by putting zombie blood all over you. And in this case, she disguised herself to camouflage with the wolves by wearing the clothes of the person she killed
and putting the W
on her forehead. And also when she was dragging Morgan with the chains, I was like, that's such a Michonne thing. Like,
yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really awesome. I love her.
But I do want to know what happened to the person that did get dragged away by the wolves, because there was one person that you did see that.
Yeah.
And that was what gave her the inspiration for her to do it, because everyone else was killing, but there were a few that were getting snagged themselves.
I wonder if they're dead or they're just new wolves.
I think it's the new wolf scenario.
Okay.
Yeah. So have you guys, have talked about, like, last week a little bit, did you guys talk about, like, the whole, like, prediction of Negan, some of the stuff online? Is this, like, something that's come up already?
I don't think we talked about Negan last week, did we?
I did.
You mentioned him. So, I mean, I'm not going to get into it, but essentially, like, the storyline of, like, this group of people that's out there.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to talk about it. It's just different than what we're seeing here. So
yes.
What we're seeing here is very much, like, massacre,
mm-hmm.
Which leads me to believe it's not that. Mm-hmm. And if it's not that, then this is just a group of killer people, which I'm sort of trying to figure out the purpose they serve.
Yeah. Well, Galen Hurd said, like, stop asking me about Negan. He's not coming anytime soon.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
So leave me alone.
So what do we think these people are?
I think this is society devolving. So
that's a good point.
With Terminus, those were people who were just changing the way society was, but they still acted and felt like there was organization. They were just doing what they had to survive. The wolves right now, they are literally a pack of wolves, and they have feral attitudes in the way that they're going about stuff, where, you know, they could just take a bunch of stuff and then leave people, but they're literally massacring, like you said. Like, this isn't well thought out strategy. This is just, we're killing the opposition so we don't have to worry about it.
Right. It's like poor instinct instead of logic when they're out there trying to diminish everybody else.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
And what does the guy say right before, or he's saying it to Morgan?
He said, I didn't choose
Carol
it.
Kills.
Yeah.
Carol kills him?
Yes.
Oh, not that one. Sorry then.
He said, I think he said it wasn't a choice or we didn't choose. It's one of those things.
That was the guy at the end. That's the last guy at the end.
But the guy that Carol shot that Morgan tied up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want her to shoot him, I think, obviously, because he was going to talk.
We're freeing you? Is that guy you're talking about? We're setting you free?
Yes, you're something free now? Like that.
He said, we're setting you free?
This place doesn't belong here?
He's like, yeah, exactly.
This doesn't belong here,
yeah.
There we go.
And I think that's going back to, like, people are becoming feral.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was really interesting that none of them had guns. Like, that to me means that if they had been getting access to guns, they were just using it all up in, like, crazed fury rather than saving ammunition and planning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. True. I mean, you can imagine after a year and a half, even if you had come across some guns, like, a lot of the reason that Rick and their people have come across the number of weapons is because they've found these large compounds or these military complexes, and mm-hmm. they've, you know, sort of stockpiled things.
And they go back to them if they need to. Like, mm-hmm. they know their place.
Yeah, but a lot of these people, the crazies that are out there on the road, probably aren't nearly as well organized, anything like that. Rick's a cop, so obviously he has, like, sort of, like, that strategic mind in place to begin with. But so this all ends, and we get a couple things that happen. We get Carol takes people out. She's crying. She's obviously having a moment of, like, what the hell have I become if I just was able to just, like, headshot 15 people, living mm-hmm. people, not zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And Morgan, as well as the Gabriel, the priest, had sort of, like, another one of these, like, I guess he said something to Carl we heard really quickly. And I want
you to help me.
Mm-hmm. He was like, what I said about your people, he's like, it was about me. I understand that now.
It's like a weak realization that, like, I am weak and I'm sorry. And
do
I
we trust that?
He seems pretty devious.
I think I trust it.
I think he's too scared to be conniving at this point.
And he knows he won't survive if he tries.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a tremendous amount of time to go into it. There was that moment, if you guys recall, at the end in the finale of last season, where essentially, like, he had that weird interaction with Tasha where it sort of seemed like he was going to kill her, but he didn't. And it was like, were you having, like, do you guys remember what I'm talking about in the church?
Oh, yeah, when you tried to kill Sasha.
Sasha?
Yeah, Sasha.
Did I say Tasha?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was like, wait, who's Sasha?
I think I remember now. Yeah.
But it wasn't, he didn't, like, really try to kill her. It was like they were sort of fighting, but then.
Well, then he was going to let her almost kill him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, all of us, I think, mostly were like, kill him, he's okay. Like, Daryl. I never wanted
to. I hear Daryl yelling from Las Vegas right now, kill him.
Kill him.
Yeah.
it was just a little confusing. And so watching him in this scene now, it's sort of more of the same. I think he's just emotionally confused and he doesn't know what he's doing in this world, and he's too weak to take his own life, but he doesn't really know how to evolve or adapt. And so maybe he says I'm not very good with guns, who knows. Maybe him having a gun's not a good thing, I don't know. But
well, now he's got two.
Yeah. Now it's got two. What I do know is that we got to see a great scene with Jessie as she woke up and decided to use the scissors for something other than cutting hair and go nuts as her son watches her just like wake up.
That was her letting everything else out, though. Because this is the first time she's been able to let it out. All the stuff with her husband and everything like that. This woman who tried to kill her became her outlet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it was actually a great scene and made me have a slightly more faith in her being alive for a while longer. Yeah. Because I don't... Oh, yeah? You think it's just we're going to see, like, the journey just so she's easier to kill?
I give her the season.
Oh, so maybe she's of the last three in her family who's going to die next. But I like that Ron watched her do it.
Right.
Because, you know, we see him conflicted about everything. Obviously his dad is dead and he doesn't want to listen to anybody, and even though Jessie said if someone is going to talk to my kids about defending themselves it has to be me, he's still not listening to her. So I feel like this will be the turning point for him to start trusting his mom and trusting the fact that he needs to start fighting and learn how to use guns and, you know, defend himself and everything. Like this will be the point where he starts to understand that he can't be an angsty 16-year-old because this is not a normal time.
I do think that there was one thing I noticed in that scene and that I really liked in this scene, which you talked about with her, like it was good that he witnessed it. When she says to Rick, you can't talk to him about that, it can't be you. There's that moment where you're just like, maybe in the old world that applied, but he's just going to die because you don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So you can try to explain to him how to defend himself, but like he followed some people out to bury his dad. He might have just died then. Like he can absolutely say whatever he wants to him because he has one hand and he leads the group. Like this is the guy that knows how to take care of himself. And I think in a moment she sort of realized like, what am I doing? Yeah. This guy's going to try to protect my family. I should take everything he's willing to give. And my stupid, angsty son that won't talk to me because he's sad about his dad that used to beat him needs to just listen.
Well, and that's why at the beginning, when before everything hit the fan, and it's like, oh, well, you know, you don't want to give me a haircut. You just want to talk to me. And they start to be like, no, we have to hash this out. And he goes, is Rick your friend? And she did it in a way that wasn't, yes, I'm just being spiteful and saying it. It's like, no, he did the right thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Completely. Yep. So we have that one. We have Carol crying. We have Morgan and Gabriel realizing sort of what's going on. That's sort of where the episode is left, right?
And then we also see, gosh, now I'm having another, like, brain fart moment where the person who was the one that originally brought them to Alexandria, he found his bag with those pictures in it.
Right.
One of the wolves.
That's
thing.
Right.
Aaron. That was,
Aaron. Okay, Aaron. Yes. Thank you.
Ross Marquand's character. Yes.
And we saw him looking at that. So I was kind of curious as to, do you think either the wolves had found where that bag was, just happened to find it, or had some of them maybe, because they had talked about Deanna used to, instead of killing people that weren't good for the community, they let them go.
Exiled them.
So how many of those people that are maybe wolves now were exiled?
Well, also, so what happened to his partner, Aaron's partner?
That's what I was wondering.
He looked similar for a while, and then maybe he's chilling.
He looked similar to a guy that Morgan hit with a stick, but it wasn't quite the same. I was pretty sure it wasn't him because he was in the room while the surgery was happening, and we lost the patient, which we didn't really talk about. But we'll get more of a follow up with that next episode, I'm sure. But let's talk about the aftermath of the scene and some predictions before we run out of time, because the episode is sort of wrapped, and obviously there's some really exciting stuff that's going to happen as a result of all this. Yeah. So we get Morgan and Carol walking in opposite directions, and then Carl taking
that, by the way,
the food out of the oven in sort of like a, this is just a day in the life of what happens.
This is no different than any of the other horrible days I've dealt with.
I took Carol and Morgan walking past each other as a way to tell us, like, well, obviously they differed in the way they battled this episode.
Yeah.
In this episode, and them passing each other without saying a word is like, well, we could have come to an agreement at this point. We could have met in the middle, but right now we're not.
You know? See, I know so many
people were shipping them too, so I felt like this episode would be like, Carol would not put up with that. She would have worn the pants
right
in that relationship.
Big time, yeah.
See, I actually disagree. I think them crossing and just making that quick eye contact was an acknowledgement that each other saw the other's point. So,
okay.
Even though we're not 100% sure that Morgan killed the guy with the stick in the house, he's seeing what Carol's talking about. And at the same time, he was trying to instill with Carol, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do this. And then when she's like letting it all sink in of the amount of people she did just kill, she realizes maybe there could have been another way.
Yeah.
And I think the two ships crossing in the night right there was like, maybe you're not as wrong as I think you are.
Okay. That can make sense from the standpoint of if Morgan and Rick are going to have conflict this season, mm-hmm. it would be too much if also Carol and Morgan had conflict.
Yeah, they need to start becoming an eye to eye.
It seems like Morgan's going to be an important character, I get the feeling.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to sort of like show us that he has to get on board with this sensibility, even if he came in. I guess they wanted to show us that his place of peace was like something different, that he wasn't just the same, which is, yeah, just a different point of view. But let's what do we think is going to happen? Well, I mean, predictions. We should talk about what's going on.
I'm so
right?
bad at predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions. I didn't say this, but my favorite line in the whole episode was after the surgery, and she says just one more thing, and you think she's gonna say like thank you for trying, but she's just like, don't forget to get the brain.
Yeah. I love that.
I don't know. My favorite line is Ham's My Biscuits.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Eugene.
Ham's My Biscuits.
That guy's great. That guy, he plays pickup basketball at my 24-hour fitness that I go to. Oh. Like my local gym.
You should say you're an after. He came in, I booked him 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
He was amazing. He's one of the funniest people.
Super nice. He's really focused.
His mullet of life is amazing.
He shoots baskets like by himself, and I'll be in there shooting sometimes, and I'll just like,
does he have the mullet when he's not shooting?
It's not fully real. It's only half real.
Okay. Fair enough.
Reasonable.
Spoiler.
It's a half real mullet.
The illusion's killed.
No.
So let's talk predictions. Who wants to jump in first? Who thinks they have a good thing to add?
I think next episode, I know we were talking about like this episode, no big characters die. I think next episode with all of our kind of our core group who are running away from the herd, I think we're going to have a problem with somebody. Now who
running
it is.
Running into the herd.
Well, they're kind of with them. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like something's going to go down there because we are now in episode 3 and sometimes that seems to be kind of a questionable area and you don't have any... Like in Alexandria, we can just kill off people we don't know.
Right.
Well, if anybody's going to get hurt, it's somebody pretty much that we know with that group.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if, to add on to your prediction, if we get actually several deaths. None of the really important main characters, I don't think. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some sort of like a Deanna or like one of Jesse's
kids, Spencer,
someone like that.
So you think they're going to focus on people in Alexandria because it looked like it was back to Rick.
It looked like it was the horde like and trying to get them. Back. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the next 3 episodes, I don't think that they're going to be able to escape the horde coming to town. I think that horde's going to take over Alexandria and they're going to have to run. I mean, maybe it'll take longer, but there is so many of those zombies.
Yeah. And I mean, they're so ill-equipped. So compromised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the walls are like, I think people are scared. I just don't think it's going to be happy in Alexandria time.
Like, it wouldn't be a suspenseful Walking Dead season if the plan worked in the first 6 episodes.
Right.
If Rick's plan worked. So Absolutely. That makes sense.
Longer, not specific to next episode, I think the gun that the wolf took will kill a major character.
Mm.
That one gun getting outside the walls... will cost a major character their life.
And Morgan will have...
Morgan.
Like, you think Morgan That'll will have, like, crazy. A serious moment of, like,
I think it's Morgan watching somebody die because of that gun. I don't think it's really. Morgan
I don't think
dying.
It's actually him getting it.
No.
But he'll have that, I really screwed up here.
Yeah.
What did I do?
Yeah, my ideals cost the life of somebody important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is such a half-assed prediction, but...
Somebody's going to die.
Someone's going to die. So we know that the group as a whole is like super separated, and I feel like when Rick, you know, we heard in the end of the preview, he said, "Make sure you get home," or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's him telling part of the group that's already separated from Alexandria to go back ahead of him. So he's going to separate himself. Maybe one or two people are going to stay behind, but of the group that's separated from Rick, maybe a few of them will die, or at least a couple.
I want to say, because we have to wrap right now, and total. Like, this is my spoiler moment, so anyone who watches the show but does not read the comics and does not know what's going on,
spoiler
just
alert.
Don't listen to what I'm going to say.
Close the browser.
I won't even be that specific. But in the comics, we mentioned Negan, there's essentially like a 2-part attack that happens where this truck that we saw ram into the wall is actually part of a group, and it's supposed to essentially like distract the people at the front while the group that's on the road trying to find another area gets attacked. And it's a super traumatic scene. And I'm wondering, because they're sort of using that same formula where half the group's out dealing with a problem, and then there's an attack on the town, and they survive it, and they think they've done okay, but actually, like, more horrible stuff ensues. I'm kind of wondering if that's, if we're going to see the same thing, if there's actually another group of wolves out there that knows what's going on.
I don't know if the wolves are that organized for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, I
don't have that much faith in them, I guess.
Going with the way they fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out what the point of that attack on the city necessarily was, but we'll find out later. We should thank everybody for watching, guys.
Yeah. Yes. Everybody on the live chat, you guys are so funny. I wish, I was a little distracted by all the cool comments. So
thank you guys so much for tuning in, and be back next week to check out the next episode. And obviously YouTube, interact with the comments. Daryl should be back next week. Guys, if they want to find you, where can they find you?
You guys can find me, Kristen Carroll, on Twitter and Instagram at KristenCarroll13. I'll also be trying to answer everybody's questions on YouTube, and you can find all my happenings on there.
Cool. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at JOJury. And I'm also on the Tuesday night after shows for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here on AfterBuzz TV.
At The John Carl on all forms of social media. And, of course, my YouTube channel, which is called Whiskey and Waffles.
Really?
Yes.
That's really cool.
Drinking problem. It's fine.
My name's Ben Bateman, and I love The Walking Dead. And you can find me on the show and Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. I'm like a giant nerd. I do Magic the Gathering content, action movie talk show stuff, and The Walking Dead. So if you're in any of that stuff, then hit me up and I'll let you know where to find it. Thanks for coming back, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.